It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-2, three in a row for the Vegas Golden Knights in the win column. Perfect on this homestand so far. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this game, another game in which the Golden Knights offensively really, really good. What stood out to you?
Well, that they managed to hit the gas pedal pretty early. And I think Bruce Cassidy is going to be coming up here in Orion in just a moment, so I'll be ready for that. But, yeah, I mean, they were opportunistic. It's funny how Bruce Cassidy said earlier today that they haven't been getting easy offense. I mean, they've, of course, scored enough. They have top 10 offense of the NHL, started the day sixth in the NHL. But it hasn't always been easy. And they got three in the first period. And, Ryan, yes, Bruce Cassidy is now stepping to the podium if you'd like to go to him.
All right, let's go downstairs and hear from Bruce Cassidy.
Early on, you guys needed Aiden to be really sharp, but the team seemed to build a lot of confidence off of his play in that first period. Just how much does it help the team when your goalie is dialed in the way Aiden was in that first period?
Yeah, I mean, the score I don't think was indicative of the way the period went. We were opportunistic. We had some good looks. You know, Jack's power play goal was a great shot. The first goal was a second chance. You know, the second one was a good play through the neutral zone. Howie had another breakaway Kolesar. So there's definitely chances there. But at the other end, I thought we weren't as good defensively as we have been of late. And we needed Aiden for sure. So if they're opportunistic and starts going the other way, that's when games can get away from you. And I think our second period was actually really good, I thought. We played the right way, extended the lead, put pressure on them. It goes without saying goaltending is so important. Obviously, we got the saves the first they didn't, and that's a big reason why we were able to to win the game.
I don't know how much you knew Tanner Pearson before he got here, but he comes out on a PTO. He's now up to double-digit goals. Just what type of expectations did you have for him coming into this season, and has he exceeded those expectations?
I don't know if exceeded. He's doing a terrific job, so I don't want to put a ceiling on a guy, especially a guy that's scored in this league. He's won a cup with LA. So he's played good hockey and played with good teams. Maybe the last few years haven't gone as well. I think he was fighting through an injury or two. So we knew we were getting a good, responsible player, and where his offensive upside would be, you know, sometimes that depends who's he playing with. Is he on the power play, et cetera? What's his minutes? So, I'm not surprised. We were hoping to be around here somewhere. Double digits would be good. You can get that out of your fourth line. You're usually in good shape. So he's one that has it now. But he did score. You know, he has that. And he scored in Manchester. I was in the minors when he was there. He scored in Junior, scored a little bit in the NHL, so it's not like this is foreign to him. It's just opportunity sometimes is limited and your role is different. And today he started with Jack. I thought he did a good job there the other day. He's probably a guy that needed a little offense, so to move him up, give him a little jolt, give him a little juice has worked. Moving Barbie to another line has worked. So sometimes in season you have to make those little adjustments, help a player out, especially if you feel his work ethic's good. Tanner's always in, so I'm happy for him. Be quite honest, I thought it might come off the board because that's what happened to Barbie when he went so long. He had a couple of come off the board. It looked like a good goal, but sometimes that's what, you know, you have to fight through even more. So I was happy for him that it stayed on.
Mm-hmm. Danny, Gary, Dom.
Bruce, Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review-Journal. Not often we see Zach Whitecloud drop the gloves, especially right off the faceoff, but he answered the bell. How much did that kind of spark the bench to get the first
game? Yeah, teammates loved it. You know, that stemmed from a hard hit on Nyes up in Toronto, a clean hit. You know, he wanted some retribution, and that's the one thing I love about the game and our group. It's the right way to settle things sometimes as opposed to trying to maybe get a guy when he's not looking or jump him, stuff like that. They settled it, and then, you know, they move on. They have a mutual respect for one another, and you play hockey. And I thought it was good for both teams.
Hey, Bruce, Gary here. Two parts. How good is Brett Howden right now, and how important has he become to your team?
Well, with Carly out, he's that much more important. He's always a piece of our team that we rely on because we use him on in different roles, checking. He had some offense to a certain line, center, left wing, big part of the penalty kill. hasn't been on the power play. Certainly can make an argument that he could be, but we've got lots of guys in those positions that don't kill, so we try to balance it that way. So this has been a year I think he's had some real growth. Some of it is, we discussed at the start of the year, some people, veteran guys leaving the room. He looks around, he's like, geez, I've been in this room for a while. I can be more of a voice. So that's one thing. Now he gets more of an opportunity to play because of injuries, and he takes advantage of it, and his numbers are growing. So I think he's just a very confident player right now. And we need it. He's been a big part of our team from day one. I thought him and Coley are two of the guys that looked really good from training camp on, and they've sustained it.
Dom.
Hey, Bruce. Dominic Labatt, Las Vegas Review-Journal. You mentioned the team defense early in the first period, and then you go up 1-0 early, take a penalty. Toronto looked really good on that power play, but for your group to kill off that penalty and kind of keep the momentum going in the first, how important was that?
Yeah, I mean, that allows us to keep with our game and put them in a hole, right? So, as I said, they had some good opportunities. They weren't able to finish. Credit Hilly for that. We were able to finish. So now they're chasing the game. When you play good teams in this league, you start chasing the game, you can get yourself in trouble if they're dialed in. And we were, and they got themselves in trouble, right? So we started getting some looks, and even, you know, we were able to extend it even more in the second. So we went through that a bit up there when we lost them earlier this year. We lost 3-0. I think the last one was an empty netter, but we got behind, we chased it a bit, and then they get going. It happens. It happens a lot in this league. So, you know, one goal you can usually overcome. You start getting down multiple goals, it's difficult. Now it's happened. It happened to us, you know, in LA, I think we were going fine. So it can certainly happen, but in general, good teams are going to put you away, and we were able to do that. We learned a lesson from a little while ago, and I think it's this time of year as well where, you know, the importance of it. It's not October where you can just sort of blow it off, right? Now we know that these are games you got to close out against good teams. You're building good habits for the playoffs, so good on our guys. And, yeah, that lot had to do with us extending it early in the game and getting key saves.
Last one, back to Danny.
Bruce, we didn't see Raphaël Lavoie after the second period. Any update on him?
Yeah, he left upper body injury is what happened, and I won't be able to tell you what the length it'll be till tomorrow. So we'll group in the morning. I don't know if we're all going to skate, but I'll have a better answer for you then.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 5-2 victory for the Golden Knights. We'll swing back up to the radio booth, bring Dan Duva back in again, and you know, obviously, Bruce Cassidy was asked there about Brett Howden, and since moving Barbashev to the line with Howden and Kolesar, putting Howden and Kolesar together, Brett down the middle, I'm marveling at his ability to make plays. Certainly tonight, the finish on the backhand was fantastic, and the Jets, the motor, it's just going and going and going, and I think Bruce kind of hit it on the head. When you've got a confident player like Brett Howden is right now, good things are happening every single time he's on the ice.
Yeah, you heard him talk a little bit about his confidence, Ryan, and how it really has ballooned here with the success that he had earlier in the season. I also mentioned the contract that he signed. I mean, you know, how many of us who watch this team could only dream of signing a piece of paper that would pay you $2.5 million per year for 5 years to play a child's game? Right. It is. He's a new dad. I mean, just remember, like, yes, they're pro athletes. They make a lot of money, and it's there's so few people who get to do this. But like, as just a regular person, that is a life changing kind of moment. And if you're a young father, again, he's only turning 28 here in a few weeks. You know, that is a huge thing. I mean, just think of him as a regular person, what it means to have that kind of security. I don't underestimate that at all. And then the obviously the success on the ice. And then you think about just, as he has been a certain player, a certain type of player in his NHL career and with this organization, a winning player, but, you know, he's not the top line center. All of a sudden, you're playing with guys like Kolesar and Barbashev. I think Brett probably senses a little bit more ownership that he can take with that group, and he can play his game, not defer to anybody, not to have to play off anybody, but he can do his thing. It sometimes it clicks, and you know, small sample size, but it has, of course, was very, very good that first game they were together, but it has continued to do well. So we'll see how long it lasts, as Bruce touched on there, but it's just wonderful to see as a person, someone just continued to grow and have success with this organization. And you know, I've said this several times before. I've known Brett since the day he got drafted, and he's just a great person, great family, and it's great to see the success that he has found here.
Now, when you look at this game kind of on the whole, and really in relation to the game against Chicago, where the Golden Knights had a 5-1 lead after the first period, it becomes a 5-4, a 6-5 game in the third period. The ability for the Golden Knights, and I know it's a different game, specifically in how they built a 5-0 lead in this one, but it was nice to see the Golden Knights kind of get this one across the finish line without too much stress in the third period.
Yeah, especially given the talent that the Maple Leafs have. I mean, they have some players that, you know, and this was brought up to Craig Berube after their game against the San Jose Sharks, and Gary touched on it, that their top-line players get a ton of ice, not only their averages, but particularly of late. You know, they end up losing in a shootout against the Sharks. Marner played 27 minutes and 29 seconds. Okay, the game did go to a shootout. I understand that. But still, 27 minutes and 29 seconds for a forward in a regular season game against a bad San Jose club? Look at that. Come on. Matthews played 25-55. Nyes played 23-53. Tavares, 21-33. Nylander, 23-43. Those are forwards like that. You know. So Craig Berube, after the game, was asked about it. Quote, "It's a concern for sure. Overused them. They're used to it, though. They've got good motors." I do wonder how much of the overplaying of those guys ends up hurting them in the next game, what have you. I talked going into the broadcast today for San Jose Sharks. When they win a game, what happens to the opponent the game after that? The opponent has done very well. 11-3-1 for the opponent winning games after they lose to the Sharks. So, obviously, it did not work out that way for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They lose to the Sharks, now they lose to the Golden Knights. So, it just seems to me that the Golden Knights managed to take advantage of a Maple Leafs team that rides those players a lot. Tomas Hertl talked about it with the New Jersey having been back-end to back-to-back. You're patient, and you wait for them to make mistakes. That's what happened. Penalty. Vegas scores two power play goals. So this is a smart team. I mean, the coaching staff, of course, is quite experienced, successful, and smart, but these guys are smart too. I mean, we rarely see them get stuck playing bad hockey for periods of time. That doesn't mean they're going to win every game, but Bruce has talked about how they don't, you know, get into their ruts and get stuck in them for very long. They usually find ways out of it.
All right, great stuff tonight on the call, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat on Friday.
Thanks, Ryan.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 5-2 victory for the Golden Knights over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Vegas improves to 37-18-6, 80 points on the year for the Golden Knights, and next in action Friday, 7 o'clock, as this homestand continues against the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-2. Vegas improves to 37-18-6, 80 points on the year, top spot in the Pacific Division, and a 6-point lead over the Edmonton Oilers for that top spot in the Pacific Division. Homestand continues Friday, 7 o'clock at home here inside T-Mobile Arena against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Raphael Lavoie left the game late in the second period, did not play in the third period at all. And as you heard from Bruce Cassidy just a couple of minutes ago, upper body injury, that's the extent that we've got right now for Raphael Lavoie. So we'll kind of see in the coming days what that outlook is for Lavoie. However, you look at what the Golden Knights have been able to kind of accomplish over the course of this week with practice, William Karlsson returning and Cole Schwint returning, both guys yesterday in a red non-contact sweater. Cole Schwint today graduates out of the red non-contact, takes a little bit of contact this morning at morning skate, but William Karlsson still in the red non-contact. So just an outlook there in terms of the injuries for the Golden Knights, but Lavoie injured today, upper body injury. No real timeline or really an expectation as to what is going on with Lavoie coming out of the game. We'll get more information, as Bruce Cassidy mentioned, tomorrow, hopefully. Take a look at the highlights in this game and go back to the first period. And the Golden Knights opened the scoring 5 minutes into the game after a shot block from Brandon Saad led to a rush up the ice and a rebound goal for Tomas Hertl.
Puck came to the point, but now it deflects all the way into the Toronto zone. Saad on it. Saad to the goal. Tose! Rebound! They score!
Twenty-fourth goal of the year for Tomas Hertl from Brandon Saad. 4:33 into the first period, made it 1-0 Vegas. And though the Golden Knights had an early lead in this game, make no mistake, the best player for Vegas in the first period was Aiden Hill, coming up with a massive glove save.
Trying to continue the play down low, but it's Morgan Riley to clear it out. Hoping for Yarncroke, knifes it down as he comes into the zone. Fed the slot, Whitecloud breaks it up, now a shot! Stop.
Dialed in. That is the expression for Aiden Hill in that first period for the Golden Knights. Absolutely phenomenal in keeping Toronto off the score sheet. That allowed the Golden Knights to extend the lead midway through the first period when Ivan Barbashev set up Brett Howden's transition goal.
Vegas coming ahead. Barbashev for Howden. Backhander. He scores!
Seventeenth goal of the year for Brett Howden from Ivan Barbashev and Keegan Kolesar. 11:18 of the first period, made it 2-0 Vegas. And the Golden Knights capped off a three-goal period with a power play goal from Jack Eichel.
Hannifin up top, left for Eichel. Slap shot! He scores! Oh, rocket from Jack Eichel! 3-0 Vegas! A power play goal!
20th goal of the year for Jack Eichel on the power play from Noah Hanifin and Pavel Dorofeev. 15:03 of the first period, made it 3-0 Vegas. Golden Knights would take that 3-0 lead into the second period and got right back to work, extending the lead 17 seconds into the period on Noah Hanifin's eighth of the year.
Now here's a look. Hanifin scores! Apparently the bleeding has not stopped. Continues his scoring streak. Four games in a row, two goals, five assists. Noah Hanifin gives Vegas a 4-0 lead, 17 seconds into the second.
Noah Hanifin from Jack Eichel and Tanner Pearson, 17 seconds into the second, made it 4-0 Vegas, and Vegas made it 5-0 later in the period when Tanner Pearson's redirect found the back of the net.
Hertl works to the slot, gets a lane, all the way to the net, and he is stopped. Tried to center, it went off the side of the net. Thrown in front, a big save! Loose puck at the goal line, they score! Taylor Pearson with Pavel Dorofeev, they win that point, and the Knights have a 5-0 lead over the Maple Leafs.
10th goal of the year for Tanner Pearson from Caden Korzak and Tomas Hertl. 13:33 of the second period, made it 5-0 Vegas, but the Leafs would spoil Aiden Hill's shutout streak on a power play goal from Austin Matthews.
Puck to the circle and a shot. Save, rebound, score. Austin Matthews. Power play goal for Toronto. And now they trail 5-1 with 2 minutes to go in the second period.
23rd goal of the year for Austin Matthews on the power play from John Tavares and William Nylander. 18:01 of the second period, made it 5-1. Vegas. So for the Golden Knights, they had a four-goal lead, 5-1 going into the third period. And the Leafs cut the deficit to 3 goals late in the third on a great individual play from Mitch Marner.
Marner, a steal. He shoots and scores! Mitch Marner. Well, the game is nearing its conclusion, but Mitch Marner still putting on a show.
Mitch Marner's 19th goal of the year unassisted, 13:27 of the third period, made it 5-2 Vegas, but there was not really a push the rest of the way for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
Well, coming into this game, the Knights were among the best home teams of the NHL. They will only improve in that standing. 5-2, the final. The Golden Knights down the Maple Leafs.
There you have it, 5-2, the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's 3 wins in a row for the Vegas Golden Knights, 5 wins in their last 6 games. And it feels right now that this team is moving and rolling in the right direction. 37, 18, and 6 for 80 points on the year. Top spot in the Pacific Division, 6 points better than the Edmonton Oilers. And next game, Friday, 7 o'clock here inside T-Mobile Arena against the Pittsburgh Penguins. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Join fellow VGK fans at the next official watch party on Sunday, March 16th at Stadium Swim at Circa Resort and Casino. Enjoy the spectacular setting at Stadium Swim and cheer the team on to victory as the Golden Knights face Detroit. Keep in mind that Circa is a 21 and over resort. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-2. Vegas improves to 37, 18, and 6, 80 points on the year. Next in action, Friday, 7 o'clock, here inside T-Mobile Arena as this homestand continues against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Checking in on the text line, 702-876-1340. Text line's always there for you. Phone calls in just a couple of minutes, so stay patient. Now, this is an interesting game for me because, I'll be honest, I thought the Golden Knights, in a lot of the same ways that Bruce Cassidy looked at tonight's game, I thought the Golden Knights were incredibly opportunistic in the first period, and Adin Hill was sharp, dialed in. Then I thought the second period for Vegas was probably their best period overall in the game, and then not much happened in the third. I know that Marner scored, but outside of that goal for Marner, it's not like Toronto had much. So I did get a couple of texts here on the text line about not liking the third period. I don't know. I thought the third period in relation to what you got against Chicago a couple of games ago, you're going to take that third period all day long. You've got a 5-1 lead in the third period, and you end up winning the game by 3, and there's not really any push or sustained push whatsoever by Toronto to put you under duress, you gotta like that. That shows improvement. That shows strides being taken by Vegas in learning from even a victory and tightening things up even a little bit more. I'll tell you, I'm getting a lot of comments on Adin Hill and how great Hill has been really of late and since the Four Nations faceoff. Now, you go back 4 games, Adin is 4-0 over his last 4 starts. He's allowed just 4 goals in those 4 games. And if you're getting that goaltending from Adin Hill, you're going to win a lot of games. And for the Golden Knights right now, kind of controlling their own destiny and really at the top of the Pacific Division, moving in the right direction while the Kings are stumbling, while the Oilers are stumbling, this is the opportunity to create that separation. 5-game homestand, you have the ability to go on a run here, and the Golden Knights have done that. Adin Hill was excellent in the first period, and the Golden Knights were incredibly opportunistic and then settled into the game and just got it to the goal line relatively easily. So good, solid 60 minutes from the Vegas Golden Knights, and now you're just hoping that they continue to ride this wave of momentum and they put together another solid 60 minutes on Friday against the Penguins. Oh, and by the way, trade deadline Friday, noon Pacific time. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show. For the station staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. Vegas, 37-18-6, 80 points on the year. Won three in a row on this five-game homestand. And the Vegas Golden Knights, I'll tell you, have won five out of their last six. Really moving in the right direction. It's been a solid, solid performance from Vegas coming out of the Four Nations faceoff and leading into the trade deadline on Friday. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. We have lines open right now, and I want to hear from you. If you're a Golden Knights fan, if you were at the game tonight, if you are looking at Friday and you want to know what my thought process is going into the trade deadline, all of that, now's the time to call in. Now's the time to have the conversation, as the Golden Knights are the best team in the Pacific Division as we check another box in terms of the mile markers of the season and the trade deadline looming on Friday. 702-876-1340. Again, we have lines open. I want wall-to-wall calls. Dial in the number, and let's get you on the air. We go out to the phone line to bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, you know that I watch and listen to every game from start to finish, and I have waited 5 months for this one. This was as close to perfection as we've played all year, and I'm excited about it, and I don't know if we peak too soon. You never won the Stanley Cup in the month of March, at least not since expansion, and they still, ironically, DraftKings seems to think that Edmonton's the favorite to win the Cup, which they can go ahead and say that all they want, but I would not want to be an Edmonton Oiler fan right now. I know that once again, it's too early to peak and too early to slump if you're one of the best in the business. But what's wrong with Edmonton these days?
I mean, I think that they're just kind of out of sync. I think McDavid's tired, and they've had individual players going at different times, but not everyone collectively. And, you know, Let's not forget that this is a team in the Oilers that lost two really good young pieces in Dylan Holloway and Philip Broberg to offer sheets in the offseason. And they were big parts of that team in their run to the Stanley Cup final last year. And, you know, I think you're trying to find kind of the pieces to put things together. And it, you know, it works. And they're streaky, and that's kind of who the Edmonton Oilers are. But I think that McDavid's tired coming off of Four Nations, and you know, I think they're just kind of going through it right now. I don't expect it to last, but it is allowing for some separation for the Vegas Golden Knights at the top of the division.
Including 1 point, not two, for the Kings tonight, which is good.
Yeah.
So we'll certainly take that anytime we can get it. I say this with tongue in cheek, but is fighting going to be the new MO of teams getting fired up to start a game?
It wasn't that. It was in relation to a hit. The first time these two teams played in Toronto, it was Zach Whitecloud with a really heavy, clean hit on Matthew Knies. Knies was injured on the play. And so Matthew Knies, I'm assuming at some point, asked Zach Whitecloud to answer the bell. He did. And that's why you got the fight at the beginning of the game.
Okay, yeah, I knew there was a lot more to it, obviously, from your post game. I do want to hear your thoughts, because we won't get a chance to talk before the trade deadline at noon on Friday. But I also want to know in detail, if you can, what your broadcast schedule is for Friday.
I mean, as far as I know, we're on the air at 4 o'clock for the VGK Insider Show. I know there's going to be a live stream for the Golden Knights with Millard and I believe Ashley Weiss, Gary Lawless, probably hear from Kelly McCrimmon, starting at 11:30 Pacific time. That'll be on all the socials. I'm not 100% certain yet if that'll also be simulcast on Fox Sports Las Vegas. We'll kind of get those details in the next day, obviously. But we will be on the air, assuming no technical issues, at 4 o'clock on Friday with the VGK Insider Show, and then obviously the pregame show going into the game against the Penguins.
I have to chuckle. I feel for you. These last few days or week or so has been rather challenging, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But you're back and you're on, and that's what matters.
Yep. Good stuff there, Mike. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. If you've got a comment, a question about the trade deadline on Friday, dial the number. If you just want to talk about the atmosphere in the game, I thought it was a really lively crowd tonight. So if you were here at the game, I want to hear from you. And if you've never called in before, you're a Golden Knights fan, you've listened to the post-game show, you're up right now, I'd love to hear from you about where you think the Golden Knights are at in kind of getting to that full 60-minute game. Because this was a solid game from Vegas. I think that top to bottom, probably better against New Jersey, both New Jersey games, but incredibly opportunistic. The goals fell. You love to see that. So I'd love to hear from you if you're kind of any of the people I just described. Pick up the phone, dial the number, 702-876-1340. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So this kind of felt like that game that all the pieces are there, mm-hmm. right? They had tons of scoring on the offense. Defensively, a very solid game. Aiden Hill was a mountain back there.
Yeah.
Like just exactly what you want to see.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You had depth in a way that, you know, maybe you haven't had it recently where, you know, your third line in Barbashev, Howden, and Kolesar was creating matchup nightmares for you in your bottom six, and then you had Jack Eichel, who was just motoring, and Hurdle, who's driving offense literally every single time he's on the ice. So when you've got that top nine kind of rolling over line over line over line, you start to see how much the Golden Knights can use their size to their advantage and wear teams down.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I don't want to say this as like a slight to the Leafs, mm-hmm. because obviously they are a very good team in the league right now, but this game didn't feel as close as the score says, and it's not like a 5-2 game is even really close, mm-hmm. but like the score doesn't even reflect how dominant I feel like the Knights were tonight. And like you just said, it was coming from everywhere. We had a defenseman score, we had multiple lines scoring, like just really one of the most complete games that we've seen this calendar year for sure, but mm-hmm. even this season.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Stephanie, and thanks so much for the call. Just a solid 60 minutes. Again, you have different ebbs and flows inside of a game. You needed Aiden Hill to be great in the first period. He was. Then the Golden Knights really clamp down because they've got a lead and they add to it. They come out in the second period, they just take the game over. And then not much happens in the third period. And when you've got a 5-1 lead, 4-goal lead, like you don't want much to happen in the third period. You want to kind of just get that one across the finish line without too much stress, and the Golden Knights did a great job of that in this game tonight. Let's go back out to the phone line, 702-876-1340. Bring in Rick. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, my friend. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Went to the game tonight and actually the last couple home games. I do got to say, the last two games we played, we look like a different team. We're finally back up to hopefully where we need to be to move forward and at least get to the playoffs this way. We look 100% different from before, Hill included.
Yeah, I think Aiden is really, really dialed in. I'm with
I
you
hope
there.
So.
Yeah. Well, I really? Mean, you know? Can't. Yeah, it's hard to look at his last four starts and say otherwise, right? Like he's played four games, he's allowed four goals. Like if you are allowing a goal a game, you're gonna win more often than not. Like, and that's where Aiden's at right now. The question becomes, what does the workload look like for Aiden to keep him in rhythm while still getting this high level of performance and then getting ready for the playoffs? And, you know, what does it look like with Ilya Samsonov coming off of, you know, back-to-back games where it's been a tougher go for him?
Well, totally on that one. The other part is, like you said, they scored against him four goals in the last couple of games. Bill was averaging four goals a game, and that was where our problem was. You know, if we didn't score five or more, we were not going to win. So he's changed. Hopefully we can keep that up. Samsonov, you know, hopefully he gets on the train with us because we need the back. You know, we need him as a great backup. Mm-hmm. But that New Jersey game, I mean, at least from my point of view, and I said to our seat neighbor there, I'm like, no one was going to win this game. Who makes the mistake? And they did. And they made two. And that's what made it, you know, for us to bring it home.
Yeah, that's a great point, Rick. And, you know, thank you for the call. I think that for Vegas, when you've got Aiden Hill playing like this, and this is kind of a point that I've come to a couple of times, when Aiden is dialed in, locked in as he has been of late, you are patient in waiting for that mistake. And it didn't come against New Jersey until the third period, and you take advantage of it. It came a lot earlier in this game against Toronto, but it allowed the Golden Knights to get their footing and really take over the game in the second period. So, yeah, you're right on the money. Aiden Hill's been phenomenal. And I think the Golden Knights have kind of found their rhythm out of Four Nations faceoff, and everything's looking a bit more predictable for the Golden Knights night in and night out. 702-876-1340 is the number. William Karlsson is moving along. He's getting closer to a return for the Golden Knights. What do you do with Karlsson when he's healthy? Because right now you've got the lines constructed in a certain way. You've got Barbashev with Howden and Kolesar, and that line has been dynamite. Hurdle and Dorofeev is a pair that works. You've got Stone and Eichel together. Where do you slot William Karlsson in? That's the question. Pick up the phone, dial the number. I want to hear from you, 702-876-1340. More of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Send a post-game show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 5-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. 702-876-1340 is the number. Pick up the phone, dial the number. We have lines open right now. If you call in, I'm putting you on the air. Now's your opportunity. Now's your chance. It's the only chance you have between now and Friday to ask a question about the trade deadline. Now, I don't know where I fall on what the Golden Knights are going to do. It's so difficult to really know what they're going to do because you look at last year and the Golden Knights pulled two phenomenal trades out of nowhere. Got Noah Hanifin, got Tomas Hertl, and obviously those moves right now are paying dividends for the Golden Knights. I don't know that it's going to be big, but I don't get the sense there's going to be nothing. 702-876-1340. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Andrew. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm nervous, though. I know Karlsson's coming back from injury. Mm-hmm. No room in the line. I really don't want to say this. I said it to my wife about Marchie, and we lost Marchie. I hate to say it, but I think one of our last misfits is going to be gone. by trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that that's going to happen. I mean, I think William Karlsson's trending in the right direction to be a part of this team and healthy and back in the lineup. I don't get the sense that that's going to be a concern you should have.
Yeah, because look at how Barbie's stepping up in his place and is really kicking butt. And it's going to be really hard for Karlsson to come back and try to get his spot back. Everybody's doing good in that spot.
I'll be honest with you, Andrew. William Karlsson hasn't lost his spot on this team.
I hope not. And I saw my boy, my favorite, Carrier. Last one, that was a snowball. They shouldn't have let Carrier go. They shouldn't have let March go.
It's kind of hard to argue with the results this season, right? Like,
right.
Talking about it.
Revo was one thing. It broke my wife's heart. Mm-hmm. And they were doing away with those kind of smash hitters. But not Carrier. That one just was out of nowhere. Why? There was no reason to let him go. I mean, underpaid, to be
sure,
honest.
Sure, but you know, he gets a really good deal in free agency with the Carolina Hurricanes, and thanks, Andrew, for the call. Like, I understand being attached to players. I get all that. I do. But, you know, it's hard for me to be in a position where you're looking at a first-place team in the Pacific Division. You're looking at a team that is moving in the right direction to clinch a playoff spot again, that's one of the highest scoring teams in the league with one of the best power plays in the league on a 3-game win streak, winning 5 of their last 6 games, and look at it and say, you shouldn't have made this move or that move or this move or that move or made a decision on this player or that player. Like, the Golden Knights are in a really good spot in terms of kind of flexibility going into this trade deadline. If they want to add, they can. And they're a deep team, and they're winning games without Karlsson in the lineup and without Shea Theodore. So, it's kind of hard for me to say they shouldn't have done X, Y, and Z when the results this season so far speak for themselves. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in John. Hey, John, how you doing?
How you doing, guys? I'm calling from Toronto. Amazing game tonight for the VGK. Obviously, I'm not a Leaf fan. I'm a Vegas fan. I don't want to see them change too much right now because I'm afraid of the chemistry. We got a good chemistry going right now.
Yeah.
And like, who are we really going to bring in that's going to put us that much better? Because, I mean, really the last few months, we've been rocking and rolling with the goals in the defense. And sure, Samsonov's had bad games, and sure, Hill's had bad games. But that's hockey, right?
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. Like, I think, you know, you look at the net for the Golden Knights, Hill and Samsonov, you don't need to do anything there. I think defensively, 1 through 8, this is one of the deepest defensive blue lines in the National Hockey League. I'm hard-pressed to find another team with as much depth as what the Golden Knights have in that spot. And then, you know, up front, I think with Karlsson coming back, and, you know, how you divvy up the lines at that point, maybe if you want to look at another forward, I think that's kind of the direction that I would be leaning. But outside of that, I think the Golden Knights are pretty well situated in terms of their chemistry, in terms of the line combinations, their identity and playing to it. I think they're really well situated going into and coming out of the trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm going to see them next week in Detroit and Buffalo, and I can hardly wait to see them. And then I'm traveling to Vegas in another month for my birthday to see them for the last 2 games. And, I mean, I've never been more excited to go see a hockey team but how they're playing right now.
Right on, John. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. That's fantastic stuff. And hopefully the Golden Knights are able to pull out some victories for you when you go to watch them and when you come here. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the Extended Post Game Show. 5-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. Sneaking in one more phone call. We go back out to the phone lines, bring in Marianne. Hey, Marianne, how you doing?
Hi, Ryan. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
I think William Karlsson is the most important player that we have on that team. It doesn't matter where you put him. He will make everybody better. 200-foot player. Mm-hmm. Jack Eichel's gotten there in the past 2 years, but William Karlsson's the glue to our team. And I don't think no matter what they put him on or where he plays, he's just going to make everything better. And that's my personal opinion. But then again.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Marianne, and thanks so much for the call. I think that when William Karlsson is healthy and ready to go and cleared for contact and cleared to be ready in the lineup, he's in the lineup. It's very simple, very clear. What the line combinations look like, I think you've got a lot of different options. If you want to keep Barbashev away from Jack Eichel, if you want to move Stone away from Eichel, like there are options on the table for the Golden Knights, but I'm right there with you, Marianne. William Karlsson, one of the most important pieces for this team this season and beyond. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Post Game Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio, keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers and our texters. It is your post game show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until Friday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the extended Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.